Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Dan Pompey! Dan Pompey! With Mully and Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And Dan Pompey joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Morning, Dan.
I'm wonderful, guys. How are you today?
We, too, are wonderful, and we've been having a lot of fun this morning, talking a little football and talking about the Bears at the bye and just sort of weighing everything that, you know, you try to avoid kind of recency bias, but that was a disappointing performance in London. I think, Dan, after the way they beat up the Vikings, we thought, wow, you know, there were comparisons to the 85 team and all the rest of it. This is a great defense. Then they get run over in London, and you're just kind of like, wow, like what happened there? How did that happen from one trip to the next?
Yeah, it's hard to really put it together how you could play the way they did against the Vikings and then come back so flat against the Raiders. You know, I tend to want to say that that loss looked like an aberration. It didn't look like the Bears team that we know. But there are some kind of trends that have been going on for a while that, you know, might be getting worse at this point. I mean, they can't make a big play on offense with regularity, and that's a big issue. They can't run the football. And what we saw in the last game is that they had a very difficult time absorbing the loss of Akeem Hicks, which is going to be something that they're going to be dealing with for a while. So, you know, these are problems that they need to get straightened out, I think, in this next week and really take a good hard look at and see if there isn't something that they can do in terms of, you know, preparation, the way they practice, scheme, game plan, whatever it may be, to try to correct those things, because if they don't, they're not even going to be a playoff team.
Well, that's the question, Dan. When you take a step back during this off week and you look at the rest of the league and you look at what's happened and who's a surprise and who isn't, if you had to, I guess, recalibrate your prediction for this Bears season, would you project them to be in the playoffs?
Well, you know, it's hard to say at this point. I really haven't given it a lot of thought, David, but I would say that, you know, some things have changed since the start of the season, for sure. So, you know, to give credence to what you're saying, I mean, not only have the Bears, I think, maybe underperformed, and, you know, we didn't even mention the quarterback situation, which remains a question mark, at least. And then you've also got the improvement of the Packers. I mean, all of a sudden, they look like one of the top four or five teams in the NFL, I think. A very impressive win last week against the Cowboys. And, you know, they've really got it rolling, to say nothing of the fact that, you know, you still got two other teams in the division that could be playoff teams as well. So, you know, certainly if the Bears continue to play the way they did against the Raiders, they will fall off and not be a playoff team. But if they can recapture some of the magic that they had against the Vikings, well, then, you know, they're probably going to be a playoff team and a team that others don't want to face in January.
I've made a ton of trips over to London, Dan, and gone for weekends in my life. And, you know, I just think it would be a good idea to go earlier. I don't know how much it affected the game. I don't know how much jet lag played a role in any of it. But I think that you'd have to look at that now and say, well, we'll try something else next time. And I don't even know if there'll be a next time, but leave earlier.
No question. I mean, you know, it's impossible to say, right, whether or not that was a factor in the game, but they sure looked flat, and, you know, they didn't have a lot of time to recover from that trip. So, I think it'd be crazy to say if they played in London next year or 2 years, whatever, to take the same approach and say, okay, we'll get in Friday and, you know, see how it goes. But that being said, you know, there have been teams that have had a lot of success doing it this way, and there have been teams that have not had success going in early in the week. So, you know, I think it's easy to kind of pin it on that, but to me, clearly there was more at work than just, you know, a little jet lag.
Do you expect there to be any personnel changes along the offensive line, Dan, before the Bears play again, play the Saints at Soldier Field, and do you think that's a good idea?
You know, I would say probably not, just because I don't know that they have great options. I mean, I think if you would say, well, we've got a great option to maybe boost the offensive line, shake things up, and give everybody kind of a kick charge, you know, then maybe they would do that. But I don't know that they have that ability. I mean, unless they wanted to maybe change Cody Whitehair and James Daniels, but I believe Matt Nagy has already said that he's not going to do that. So I don't know what their options are. You know, it's hard at this time of the year to come up with a player who comes off your bench or off the street or whatever and can make you better than you were, unless you were really, really bad. So I would think that, you know, the offensive line is puzzling to me, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, but, you know, this was a pretty good offensive line last year on all fronts, and I expected them to be better this year, and at least as good as they were last year, and it's hard to understand why they've struggled the way they do. What are the theories that you guys have kicked around on that?
Well, you know, philosophically, they're not really firing off the ball and trying to play. I mean, you can argue about a run game, but part of it is being committed to it, having a fullback running downhill. No, but they're not. I don't see them pulling, and I don't see a lot of the, you know, kind of lead blocking or any of that. It seems like they're more, you know, just sort of they're not firing out. You know, the other thing, Dan, they're running out of the shotgun, which that doesn't help.
No, but again, I think these are things they've done since Matt Nagy has been here. This is the way he runs the ball and runs the offense, and you know it worked to a much greater extent last year than it's working now, and it's hard to figure.
Well, you know, we're not experts, I guess, but when you look at Kyle Long, he's obviously impaired. When you look at Charles Lindell Jr., he looks a little bit slower than he did last year, at least not as quick. And when you look at
eight
the line,
leads at, the league.
Yeah, and the line as a whole, Dan, when you, again, this is probably the unsophisticated way of looking at it, but the good offensive lines have centers that come off and they dominate and they're strong at the center at the point of attack. And you look at the teams that struggle with their offensive line, and that typically isn't the case. I don't think you've seen James Daniels, as good as he might be in the future, be that guy this year. At the point of attack, the Bears aren't strong at center, and that may be something that is different from last year.
Yeah, I agree, and that's part of it, but certainly it's not all of it, right? There's more to it than that, and it's been kind of puzzling. The one good thing, you know, that would give me confidence a little bit if I were Matt Nagy is that they have got a really good offensive line coach in Harry Hiestand, and he's a guy. You know, I think the best way to probably approach the issues they've had with blocking, both run blocking and pass blocking, are to kind of just look at what you've done and try to get better and coach better, get better technique, do things the right way consistently. And he's the guy who can do that as well as almost anybody in the league. So, you know, if there's a chance for them to improve at that position, I think it's Harry Hiestand.
The other element here is that their teams are playing them in very specific ways. I think that we saw when Mitch was the starting quarterback, teams decided that they had to create an edge and kind of make him a pocket passer, and that was the way to go about beating the Bears. So we saw a lot of teams doing that. And then Mitch goes down. And frankly, I thought it was a surprise that Mike Zimmer didn't make some kind of a halftime adjustment and start attacking up the middle of the field. But certainly Oakland, you know, they had big bodies, and it looked like he had kind of short man quarterback issues that happen when a guy has some physical limitations.
Yeah, you know, I think that's part of the problem for the Bears offense overall, is that opponents don't have to really respect downfield. You know, they can kind of clog up that short area, the middle area of the field, and they know that the Bears cannot really beat them any other way. So yeah, the Bears have maybe become a little predictable over time because there are only certain things they can do, and you know, the more that opponents have been able to see what the Bears can and cannot do, the easier it gets for them to defend them, I think.
Dan, what's your level of interest or concern regarding Roquan Smith? Because that player that we saw Sunday wasn't the guy that I think that we have seen in just the short time that he's been in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, you know, nobody plays the way he played in the first couple of games for 16 games as a rule. I'm looking at it as a one-game blip, but obviously, you know, that game was preceded by the personal issues. So, again, you want to look for, does it become a trend, or was it kind of something that happened? Was it, I don't know how much it was related strictly to performance or whether or not it was his head's not in the right place or what the situation is, but he certainly wasn't the only one who didn't show up on Sunday. I mean, he had a lot of company. did anyone see Leonard Floyd?
Oh boy.
I
saw him get knocked down once.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of that going around. So, the other thing too, I think, you know, that's interesting is, when the Bears were rolling, for not just for one game, but I'm talking about last year defensively when everything, they had, it seemed like everything was working right for a long period of time. That's when it becomes easy to really raise up, I think, some of these younger players and bring out the best in them. And when things aren't going so well, that's when, the opponent can maybe expose some flaws in attack and some of those younger players don't have as many opportunities to make plays and to kind of feed off of what some of the stars are doing. So, Khalil Mack can't do it all himself, and he's going to need some of these other guys to step up who are supposed to step up, like Roquan and like Leonard Floyd and Trevathan. Certainly, if they get Bilal Nichols back, that right. would be, a huge thing at this point because he's a guy, I think, who's really got some potential. And with Hicks being out, that would be very, very important.
All right. Sounds great, Dan. Really appreciate your time, buddy.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me.
That is Dan Pompey. He, of course, his name is writ in the Hall of Fame.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.